Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2018 and 2019 season. The program notes I am reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony at 8 p.m. on Friday, November 30th, and Saturday, December 1st at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. Now, this concert will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The featured guests will be as follows. Joelle Harvey will be the featured sopranist. Anya Montanovich will also be a soprano. Nicholas Fan, tenor, and Federico De Michelis, bass baritone. Also featured will be the North Carolina Master Chorale and the North Carolina Symphony Resident Chorus under the direction of Alfred E. Sturgis. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony begins this performance with the Overture to Rosamond, that is catalog listing D644, by Franz Schubert. And that will be followed by three other works by Schubert. First, Nacht und Traum, Night and Dreams, catalog listing D827. Then, Die Forelle, The Trout, listing D550. And finally, Gretchen am Spinnrade, Gretchen at the Spinning Wheel, listing D118. All three feature the guest soloist, Joelle Harvey. Then, following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony will return to the stage to perform the Mass in C Minor, The Great, Kerschel listing 427, by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes, and we will start with the biographies of each of the guest singers on the program tonight, along with information about the North Carolina Master Chorale. First, Joelle Harvey, the soprano. A native of Bolivar, New York, soprano Joelle Harvey specializes in Handel, Mozart, and new music. She is the recipient of a 2011 First Prize Award from the Gerda Listener Foundation, a 2010 Encouragement Award in honor of Norma Newton from the George London Foundation, and a 2009 Sarah Tucker Study Grant from the Richard Tucker Foundation. The works of Gustav Mahler figure substantially in Harvey's 2018-19 season engagements. She returns to the Cleveland Orchestra as soprano soloist in his Symphony No. 2 in Cleveland and on tour, and also performs the work for her debut with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. She will reunite with the San Diego Symphony for Mahler's Symphony No. 4, while his Symphony No. 8 will be the vehicle for her return to the Los Angeles Philharmonic at the Hollywood Bowl. The season includes a Carnegie Hall recital with pianist Alan Perriello. The duo will present the same program with the Collaborative Arts Institute of Chicago. Harvey began the 2017-18 season with the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra, performing Samuel Barber's Knoxville, summer of 1915. She subsequently made her Pittsburgh opera debut as Susanna in Le Nozze di Figaro. Further concert appearances included Handel's Messiah with the New York Philharmonic and Beethoven's Symphony No. 9 with the Handel and Haydn Society. In the summer of 2018, she returned to the Glenbourne Festival Opera for her role debut as Cleopatra in Handel's Giulio Cesare. In the 2016-17 season, Harvey joined the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra as Susanna in Le Nozze di Figaro and the Los Angeles Philharmonic as Pat Nixon in Nixon in China. In concert appearances included the Mostly Mozart Festival for Mozart's Mass in C Minor and his Requiem, which he also sang with the Kansas City Symphony and the Utah Symphony. Harvey received her bachelor's and master's degrees in vocal performance from the University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. Past appearances with the North Carolina Symphony include a program celebrating Mozart's birthday in 2017 and Handel's Messiah in 2014. Our second featured soprano is Anya Montanovich. American soprano Montanovich made her international opera debut as Musetta in Franco Zeffirelli's production of Puccini's La Bohème. In her debut with the Glimmerglass Festival as Micaela, she was praised for her sinuous soprano with its golden timbre and silky smooth legato. This season, she makes her debut with the North Carolina Symphony, returns to Utah Opera, and joins the roster of the Lyric Opera of Chicago. Last season saw her company and role debut as Mimi in La Bohème with Opera Colorado, and a debut with the Eugene Concert Choir for Mozart's Mass in C minor. Her 2016-17 season featured notable role debuts, including Anne Truelove in The Rake's Progress with Boston Lyric Opera, and Maybelle in The Pirates of Penzance with Lyric Opera of Kansas City. She also appeared in concert with the Cleveland Orchestra and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra for Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream. Montanovich is a graduate of the Seattle Opera Young Artist Program. She made her professional opera debut directly from her undergraduate studies at the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music as Mimi in the Los Angeles commercial engagement of Baz Luhrmann's Tony Award-winning production of La Bohème. She was a regional finalist in the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions and has been a prize winner in competitions sponsored by the Goethe Listener Foundation, Opera Buffs, Lenny Faye Bland, and the Sun Valley Opera. She is a co-founder of Knock Music, an outreach group dedicated to bringing opera to the many communities of Los Angeles. Montanovich was born in Madison, Wisconsin, to a Slovenian-born father and an American mother, and raised in Issaquah, Washington. The soprano spends her time between Vermont, Los Angeles, and New York with her husband, television writer John P. Roach, and their daughter, Zara. Next, our guest tenor, Nicholas Fan, described by the Boston Globe as one of the world's most remarkable singers. American tenor Nicholas Fan performs regularly with the world's leading orchestras and opera companies. Also an avid recitalist, in 2010 he co-founded the Collaborative Arts Institute of Chicago to promote art song and vocal chamber music. CAIC, as it's known, where he serves as artistic director, presented its 7th annual Collaborative Arts Festival in September with performances in various Chicago venues. Other highlights of his 2018-19 season are two role debuts, Umpolis in Stravinsky's Persephone and the title role in Handel's Jephthah. The title role in Bernstein's Candide with Marin Alsop and the Israeli Philharmonic will mark his debut in Israel. He will return to major orchestras across the country, including the San Francisco Symphony, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. In November, he sings the first of many outings of Schubert's Dichon Mullerin this season as he gives the world premiere of Antoine Plant's arrangement for full orchestra with Mercury, the Houston-based orchestra, of which Plant is the founder. Fan's previous appearances with the North Carolina Symphony include Britain's War Requiem in 2017. Fan will be heard on two forthcoming recordings, Berlioz's Romeo and Juliet with Michael Tilson Thomas and the San Francisco Symphony, and Handel's Joseph and His Brethren. His most recent solo album, Illuminations, was released in April 2018. His previous solo album, Gods and Monsters, was nominated for the 2017 Grammy Award for the Best Classical Vocal Solo Album. A graduate of the University of Michigan, Fan also studied at the Manhattan School of Music and the Aspen Music Festival and School, and is an alumnus of the Houston Grand Opera Studio. In 2018, he was appointed to the faculty of DePaul University, where he serves as an adjunct member of the voice faculty. And next, the featured baritone Federico De Michelis. Argentinian bass baritone Federico De Michelis, praised by Opera News as singing with a deep-voiced authority, is a recent graduate of the Houston Grand Opera Studio. He was previously a member of the Opera Studio of Teatro Argentina de La Plata and a student at the Escuela Superior de Música Reina Sofía in Madrid. In the current season, he will return to the Houston Grand Opera, first as Colleen in La Boheme, then as Nurabad in The Pearl Fishers, a role he will reprise for his debut with the Gran Teatre del Luz in Barcelona. In the 2017-18 season, De Michelis returned to Houston Grand Opera as a principal artist as Aquila in Giulio Cesare. He also made his debut with Palm Beach Opera, performing Figaro in La Nozze di Figaro. On the concert stage, he made his Philadelphia orchestral debut, performing Scarone in Tosca. Under the baton of Yannick Nezek-Segin, and presented a series of concerts in Key West, Florida, as part of the Florida Keys Concert Association. In the 2016-17 season, he performed Dr. Dulcamara in Houston Grand Opera's production of L'Elysir d'Amore. Other roles included Brander in La Damnation de Faust with Aspen Music Festival, and at Des Moines Metro Opera, Mr. Flint and Timur in Billy Budd and Turandot, respectively. On the concert and recital stage, De Michelis has performed in a concert tour of Spain organized by the Fundación Albinas and a Christmas concert for the Royal Family of Spain at the Palacio Real de Madrid, as well as concerts with the Nürnberger Symphoniker in Nuremberg and Zehndorf. Born in Buenos Aires, De Michelis received third prize in the Eleanor McCollum competition at the Houston Grand Opera and was named Outstanding Student by Her Majesty Queen Sofia of Spain. And finally, information about our North Carolina Master Chorale, one of the major choral organizations of the Southeast. The North Carolina Master Chorale has been performing choral orchestral masterworks for more than 75 years. The Master Chorale boasts two renowned ensembles, a 170-voice symphonic choir and a 22-voice professional chamber choir, with a diverse repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music. Its singers, selected by audition, bring a collective wealth of training and experience. The Master Chorale is the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony and regularly collaborates with symphony orchestras, opera and ballet companies, and touring productions. The organization received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its rich heritage and numerous artistic contributions to the community. Music director and conductor Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and performed with Robert Shaw in the United States and Europe. In addition to the Master Chorale, Sturgis serves as music director for the Carolina Ballet and the Tar River Philharmonic Orchestra. Founded as the Raleigh Oratorio Society in 1942, the Master Chorale has evolved into a major regional performing arts group that works with more than 250 artist musicians each season, reaching an annual audience of more than 10,000 choral arts enthusiasts. And now information about the program itself. The North Carolina Symphony comes on the stage to perform the Overture to Rosamond, catalog listing D644 by Franz Schubert. Schubert was born January 31st, 1797, in Vienna, and he died November 19th, 1828, also in Vienna. The work was composed in 1819 and 20, first performance August 19th, 1820, at the Theater an der Wien in Vienna. Here is the overview. For all his mastery of selecting and setting music to lyric poetry, Franz Schubert was disastrously inept in selecting plays and librettos for his music. None of the operas he composed ever succeeded. The closest he ever came to composing dramatic music was the incidental music to the play Rosamund. Ironically, this piece has remained a standard in the orchestral repertory, but the play itself is long forgotten and apparently lost. Rosamund was written by Helmina von Chesy, a compulsive writer and obviously a smooth talker, known as the Terrible Frau von Chesy. It ran all of two performances shortly before she had befuddled everyone with her incomprehensible libretto to Weber's Urantine, but she continued to write in the same vein and managed to persuade producers to mount her plays. Schubert began composition of the incidental music, comprising more than 50 minutes, on November 30th, finishing it on December 18th, 1823, just 2 days before the premiere. The deadline left him no time to write an overture, so he recycled an earlier composition, the overture to an 1820 melodrama, Die Zauberharf, The Magic Harp. As a result, the music of the overture bears no relationship to the rest of the incidental music and gives us no clue whatsoever to the lost plot of Rosamund. Well, here's what to listen for. The overture opens with a lengthy, dramatic introduction, followed by a typically lively and lyrical Schubertian sonata form movement. The energetic closing theme is also in keeping with the standard 19th century opera overture. Sometime after the failed production, the incidental music disappeared, only to be discovered in 1867 when Sir George Grove and Sir Arthur Sullivan went to Vienna in search of lost Schubert manuscripts. This work is written for two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, timpani, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony performs Three Lieder by Franz Schubert. These pieces were written as follows. It was composed in 1825, Nock and Traume, or Tarum, rather, in 1817, Die Forella, and 1814, Gretchen am Spinnrade. The first performances are actually unknown, but here is the overview. It is not too much of an exaggeration to say that Franz Schubert invented the German art song. Of course he had help. Poets of the Romantic era had discovered Das Volk, common people, and the growing middle class soon adopted the Lied as a classier and more emotionally intense substitute for the folk song in home music making. Here is what to listen for. The Romantics favored emotional extremes, drawing inspiration from everything from scary folk tales to suicide over unrequited love. Schubert was a master at creating a kind of pianistic commentary on the text. Most of his Lieder open with an introductory ritornella that sets the mood of the poetry to come through tone painting. Schubert had the gift to make songs speak directly to the listener. Arranging these songs for full symphony orchestra exchanges some of this intimacy and immediacy of approach for the orchestra's power to build on emotion. The first Lieder to be performed is called Nacht und Traum. And that is translated into Nights and Dreams. German composer Max Reger orchestrated eight of Schubert's Lieder, including two being performed on this program by the symphony, in 1914 and another seven in 1926. Nacht Antarum, composed in 1825 to a text by Matthias von Collin, is a meditation on a bright night as the moonlight wanders through the house, influencing dreams. The second leader to be performed is called D. Forella, the Trout. Benjamin Britten, a great Schubert lover, performed many of the leader on piano with his partner, tenor Peter Pears. D. Forella, however, is the only one he orchestrated to an English text in 1942. Christian Friedrich Daniel Schubart's poem recounts a fisherman's trick to catch an unsuspecting trout by muddying the waters so that the fish can't see him. Schubert sets the song in ABA form, with an accompaniment to the A section portraying the trout leaping out of the water. The B section musically reflects the narrator's disapproval of the fisherman's lack of sportsmanship. Originally, the poem had a moral expressed in the fourth stanza, which Schubert omits, in which the narrator observes that many a credulous young woman loses her virginity to young men ever ready to ensnare them. And then the third leader to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony is called Gretchen am Spinnrade, Gretchen at the Spinning Wheel. For the Romantics, German poet and polymath Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, who lived from 1749 to 1832, was close to God, and his verse play Faust was his magnum opus. Dr. Johannes Faustus himself was an historical personage described first in 15th century German sources as an adventurer, scholar, necromancer, cohort with Satan, and dabbler in black magic. He reemerged a century later in Christopher Marlowe's play Dr. Faustus as having sold his soul to the devil in exchange for youth, love, and knowledge, and every man gone wrong. Gretchen am Spinnrade is drawn directly from Goethe's play. Faust's quarry, the innocent girl Gretchen, sits at her spinning wheel, meditating with conflicting emotions about the now youthful Faust, his seductive promises, and his kiss. Schubert composed the lead in 1814. His accompaniment throughout imitates the whirring of the spinning wheel, pausing only as Gretchen remembers the kiss. The instrumentation for these works in this leader are as follows. Nacht and Trauma, Tarum, rather, is designed for strings only. D. Forella, two clarinets and strings, and Gretchen am Spinnrade, flute, oboe, two clarinets, bassoon, horn, timpani, and strings. And following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage with our featured guest soloist and the North Carolina Master Chorale to present the Mass in C Minor, the Great, Kirchel Listing 427 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mozart was born January 27, 1756 in Salzburg, and he died December 5, 1791 in Vienna. This work was composed in 1782 and 1783. The first performance was October 26th, 1783, in Salzburg. Now here is the overview. In the face of considerable parental opposition, Mozart, now freelancing in Vienna, married Constance Weber in the summer of 1782. His father Leopold, while raising the understandable parental objections to the marriage, based on his son's lack of regular gainful employment, clearly had a hidden agenda as well. Marriage and a family would permanently remove his son from his influence. Angry letters, the silent treatment, a fat commission for the Hafner Symphony, and other forms of manipulation were to no avail, and for 2 years father and son maintained a chilly professional civility from a distance. During the contentious time leading up to the wedding, Mozart vowed to compose a new Mass as an offering of thanks, to be performed in his hometown of Salzburg when he took his wife to meet the family. Constance was the intended soprano soloist. In July 1783, Wolfgang finally returned to Salzburg, leaving his new baby son in Vienna, but the trip was too little, too late. Although he had promised to name the child Leopold, with his father as godfather, the resolution somehow got sidelined, and a friend, Baron Raymond Wetzler, held the child at the baptismal font. The young couple attempted to make peace, but Mozart's father and sister behaved ungraciously, especially to Constance, exacerbating the family rift. Tragically, little Raymond died while his parents were away. For Mozart, the Mass in C minor was also a political and artistic statement. Emperor Joseph II and Salzburg's conservative Prince Archbishop Colloredo restricted the performance of church music with instrumental accompaniment. In a pastoral letter in 1782, Colloredo emphatically discouraged accompanied sacred vocal music and any church music over 45 minutes long. The archbishop had been Mozart's former boss and bête noire in Salzburg, and now that he was out from under Colloredo's thumb, or crozier as it were, he blatantly ignored these restrictions in the Mass in C minor, with its full orchestration, bravura style, florid solos, and its sheer length. For reasons not clear, Mozart never finished the work, yet the fragment was performed in Salzburg under Mozart's direction, with Constance as soprano soloist, in spite of the royal edict. The fact that it was never performed as part of a liturgical service may explain why Mozart left it incomplete. The score he left behind, which musicologist Alfred Einstein called a noble torso, consists of a completed Kyrie and Gloria, the Credo up to Et Incarnatus Est, and graphs of the Sanctus and Benedictus. Now here's what to listen for. The Mass, though unfinished, was conceived in the tradition of a Missa Solemnis, High Mass, or Cantata Mass. This designation refers to the setting of the text-heavy Gloria and Credo, which are broken up into their component ideas, each one receiving a separate concerted setting. At the time of the composition, Mozart had been involved in music-making at the home of amateur musicologist Baron von Swieden, who was presenting the then-passé music of Bach and Handel at his soirees. Their influence is evident throughout the Mass in C minor. The first three things to strike a listener are the somber mood, the heavy use of counterpoint, and the dominant role for the soprano soloist, who gets three solo arias as opposed to none for anyone else in the solo quartet. Given the genesis of this work, the last feature is not surprising, but the other two qualities are. The dark tone of most of the Mass has no obvious biographical explanation. Rather, the minor mode allows for more complex harmony, dissonance, and chromaticism, which Mozart milks for all their expressive power. The effect immediately brings to mind the mature Bach, the Gratias Agimus Tibi and the Citolus Peccata Mundi are ponderous movements written in a dense contrapuntal style, with harsh dissonances sliding against each other, only to resolve in unexpected places. The opening of the Credo could easily pass for the opening of one of Bach's cantatas. Even unfinished, the Mass contains no fewer than four fugal sections, the Kyrie, Quoniam cum Sancto Spiritu, and the Hosanna in Excelsis. While Mozart could certainly hold his own against anyone as a contrapuntist, he seldom exploited this talent, and certainly never to this extent. The Handelian influence is most obvious in the fanfare opening of the Gloria, containing a probably deliberate reference to the Hallelujah Chorus. It is the sunniest movement in the Mass. In contrast to the ponderous choral sections are the three soprano arias, the Christe Eleison, Laudamus Te, and the Et Incarnatus Est. If Mozart meant this work as a vehicle for Constance to strut her stuff, he could not have been more successful. The Christe exploits the extremes of the soprano's rage. The Laudamus Te is a heavily ornamented bravura piece, and the Et Incarnatus Est is an intensely moving aria with its own share of coloratura riffs. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: for flute, 2 oboes, 2 bassoons, 2 horns, 2 trumpets, 3 trombones, timpani, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018-2019 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the rest of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.